I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from our acclaimed, award-winning, only from ourselves, podcast, Guys We Fuck, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. If you want to listen to the whole episode, and I'm sure you do, you're going to go to apple.co/GWF. There you go. This week's episode is with our longtime producer, editor, music coordinator, friend of the show, amazing person, Mike Coscarelli. You've heard him talk. You've heard us talk about him before,
but now we're going to get in deep inside of him,
and you're going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I love this episode, guys. Check it out again. That's apple.co/GWF for the full episode.
What I'll say about my dad? I have had girlfriends who have seen pictures of my dad and said, like, your dad is like a really attractive older guy, because my dad's in about
is that part
60.
Of the dating process.
Yeah.
You spread the family photos.
You want to fuck my dad? What do you think?
This
how about
what
my
I'm
grandpa
look like in 25 years?
Yeah,
25 years, I think that's right. But my dad doesn't like take great care of himself in terms of like my dad doesn't
dads
really
dads don't
know.
Really do that.
Yeah, and he's like, he's very much a dad in that. Like, he's not one of those guys who's like, he doesn't really like to dress. He doesn't like to, and I'm like the opposite of that. And my grandpa was like that too. So when I was a kid, like even until my grandpa got lung cancer and got sick, my grandpa was like always dressed to the nines.
I thought you were going to be like, yeah, lung cancer really takes the style.
Yeah, he started dressing
man.
Like shit, going to Gap.
I would say, he was stylish till the end. He was going, that's Saint Laurent shoes.
Amazing.
I appreciate older people who dress well more than I can state in words.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was just like always dressed super well, kept himself in really good shape till he got sick. And he just like always like smelled good, always kind of like very well manicured and but also
Italian.
Like,
was he an immigrant though? Was he from Italy?
He was the only one from his family who was born here.
Okay, so he's first generation.
Technically, he was conceived in Italy, but my grandma was pregnant with him while
and
they
he won't let you
over.
Forget it.
Because I also think that's part of it with like the dressing well and the presentation. Like, even though he wasn't an immigrant, he was raised by an immigrant family, and I think that really kind of colors how you dress and appearances and stuff. Because like
totally.
American men of our parents' generation, it's not about style.
Not at all. It's about functionality.
They never heard of Pinterest board.
Exactly.
Which,
it's not makeup, but that's why they were like getting a lot of stuff done. They owned houses.
Yeah.
Because they didn't spend it on cologne.
Right.
So,
100%. Right. And in my grandpa's case, they were very poor. So when he didn't finish high school or anything like that.
So that was about like presentation.
I think so. I mean, I don't remember a time where we had even just like a family dinner where my grandpa didn't look great. And I don't know if it got to a point where he just was like, just like it was like a kind of like second nature to him, where he just kind of like, he just knew how to do it. He had that kind of, and he had that personality where he like, you walk into a restaurant, he's got the money clip. Hey,
clip.
Rocco, how you doing?
Rocco.
Everybody at the restaurant loved to see him.
You want a rigatoni?
Yeah, right. So I got that from my grandpa, and like, I think I got other things from my dad, but they're, I think like the, kind of like the dressing and the like taking care of yourself.
So
my grandpa taught me how to shave, you know?
Right.
Which, you know, I feel bad looking back that my dad didn't do that, but my grandpa was the one I remember in the kitchen like showing me. I was like 13 and he was like,
oh, that's when you start growing a beard at 13?
I did. Yeah, I mean,
does your pubes come in before that? I've never asked a guy.
Yeah, when did your pubes come in, Mike?
Yeah, before or after the beard?
They're all around
what if you
the
got
same time.
Beard before pubes.
Well, I didn't have
Bummer.
A beard. I had a mustache, and I had one of those
like
13-year-old straggly. But you get like those straggly kind of like swarthy mustaches that like there's like a high school picture of me where I have that and like I can't grow hair anywhere else and I just look insane. Like it's just like puberty.
There's nothing worse than that like puberty side stash.
Puberty stash is so weak.
It's just
not
awful.
Cute. Not
so
cute.
At a certain point they were like, we gotta get that off your face and then
sweet.
Yeah.
So how was sex treated with you growing up? When was it introduced? Did you actually
see
your
parents'
spot?
Yeah, because
you seem seem like you really were a fan.
We know what happened.
Sex was very casual in my house, and it was, I learned very, very young.
Maybe that's a maybe is this a Jersey thing, Mike? Because me too. Like, just no one. It wasn't a thing. No one cared.
You and I have had this history of kind of. I think like a lot of our friendship was built on the fact that we grew up in like the same part of New Jersey, both Jewish and Italian.
Yes. Oh, like, you're Jewish and Italian too.
Yeah, we're both.
Oh my
pizza
God,
babies.
You guys are very similar.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, I mean, I thought our friendship was based on the fact that I walked off stage at Greenwich Village Comedy Club and then hoped the place burned down.
And I was Let's do it.
I literally said out loud, "Hope this." What did I say? I hope this place fucking burns to the ground.
You were like,
Chad, it wasn't a threat. It was just a wish.
you were kind of like, you were having a tough time at the end of the set. I remember you did a joke. You did
That's
a joke.
Great.
It got nothing. And you were like, all right, well, I understand. This is going to be like brutal the rest of the way. You said this out loud.
Yeah,
like,
you might as well
suck.
Lean in. Yeah,
yeah. This is going to suck the rest of the way. So like, you were like, let's try another one. And then you said the joke. It bombed again. You waited a second and you were like, okay. Well, all right. Well, you guys don't deserve this. You were basically like, fuck all of you. I have like 3 more minutes. I'm going to make this brutal for all of us.
That is my tactic in life and on stage.
Yeah, I loved it. I was
Caleb
laughing.
Hill, kid.
And then you came off stage and I was like, hey, man, they suck. That was really funny. And we didn't know each other. You were like, oh, wow, great. Like, thank you so much for the compliment. I really appreciate that.
But
you're
I said it genuinely.
No, yeah, you weren't being Corinne.
Wow,
you were
thanks,
being like,
shitbag. You weren't being Corinne. You were being a nice person, actually.
And then you were like, are you up next? And I was like, yeah, I think it was either following you or I was one after. And you're like, when you get off stage, let's burn this place to the fucking ground. And I was like, this could be the start of something.
A lifelong friendship was born.
Lifelong friendship.
That's how you got to do comedy, guys. Even if you lose 99.9% of the audience, if you gain a lifelong fan and a friend,
then you've done your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone you can eat Taco Bell with in Union Square.
It's about a 50-piece chicken McNugget.
50-piece chicken McNugget.
And that's our specialty at McDonald's. We split a 50-piece.
That was a very fun night. That's a different story. But going back to sex, which was the original question.
I was like, how do we get
Don't fuck after eating a 50-piece McNugget.
Definitely don't do that.
Oh, I wouldn't try.
I
wouldn't dare try.
You're gonna be farting all over the place.
But yeah, and shitting.
I can remember my mom just kind of bringing it up randomly. We were driving around in Jersey.
She cornered you in the car. Who's feeling horny? You getting bonus, Mike? You wanking?
She just, it was, I mean, I don't know if it was like to go that far, but.
What'd she say? Do you remember?
Yeah, she was like, I was like 5 or 6 and she was like, I was really young. And she was like, do you know what sex is? I don't know why she thought of it, but she did. And I was like, I don't think so. I think, you know, not really. And she's like, well, sex is where babies come from.
Uh-huh.
So like, instead of like some stork bullshit, like my mom was just like, you and your sisters are here because your father and I had sex.
Wow. Just like said it like that.
Yeah.
Father ejaculated and right into this hole.
He came out of his pee-pee hole into my pee-pee hole.
Right.
And you were here.
It wasn't as lewd, but it was like, this is the process. This is how it works. And then I was like, great.
That would have saved me so much confusion.
I'll tell you
and
what.
Then,
she
also said, but people also do it because it feels good. And people like to do
she
it.
She gave you a solid.
That's lovely.
Here's what it is.
Yeah.
No bullshit.
Yeah. And
Jesus
then,
Christ.
So like when I was growing up, by the time we got to like the growing up program, which was like what we had in
family life.
Yeah. Whatever the health, you know, I knew.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I didn't know the when they start breaking down like ovaries and all that stuff. I didn't know that stuff yet.
Fuck that shit.
But I knew the basics of like a man puts his dick in a woman and then like that's how babies. So I was past all that stuff.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys.
Pretty young.
When you think about it, the stork rumor is really fucked up. Because I believed that shit.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Because in my neighborhood, people would have storks, wooden storks, like, you know, when it's Christmas and you have your lawn all decorated.
Yeah.
And then it would say a boy. And I'm like, and my mom would go, that bird brought the boy to the thing. And I'm like,
she legitimately told you, like, that's how. Yeah. She, like, that's
and then
crazy.
That was when I was a little kid. And then when I was 12, there was people fucking on the beach and we were on a family vacation. She goes, do you know what that is? And I was just like, yeah. And I didn't. And I lied. And she goes, okay, good.
At 12? You didn't know at 12?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know it was insertion involved until like 10th grade.
And then 4 years later, Christina herself would be having sex.
Yep. Eyes tightly shut. Jesus. Tears streaming down my face.
Yeah, I'm always very fascinated with that because I will say, like, to my mom's credit, other than Santa Claus, she did let me believe in Santa. I used to have a joke about that when I was doing stand-up for like a long time where my mom let me believe in it until I was probably like 10 or 11.
Oh, I believed until I was 12. It's my greatest trauma. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty, fucked up.
And I know that means I had a nice life. I apologize.
Never apologize for what you went through.
I like that you looked right
into
the camera.
Even if it was nothing.
Well, I'm not mad at you guys.
But yeah, my mom never talked to us, to my memory, that like children in that way. Which might be, again, why. Because I feel like your parents didn't do that much either, right?
No, yeah.
Like, Wi-Fi wasn't.
My parents never did like baby talk or just like they always talked to us, you know, kind of like full sentences, like talked up to us instead of down to us. I think a lot of parents talk down to their kids and not on purpose, just because that's what they think they should do. And if anything, my parents would talk up to me and I'd be like, what does that word mean?
Right.
You know? Right. I don't know. I love that your mom had the sex talk in the car, though. I feel like it's such a Jersey move to like trap your kids
we're
in the car.
We're going to shore, get a hoagie.
We're
going
to trap your kids in the car, and then like we're going to talk about all the hard facts now. Can't get out. What do you say?
Alan, lock the doors. He's not running away from this one.
We have a hostage situation right here in this Ford Taurus.
It was a Ford Taurus.
I also drove a Ford Taurus. It was always a Ford Taurus.
Yeah, it was national, the state car of New Jersey. Fucking Ford Taurus.
97. Yeah,
I love a Ford Taurus.
Sea breeze green Ford Taurus.
Ours was like a gold colored.
No,
hideous car. Hideous. Car.
Ours was like bluish. For a long time, people were like, "Can you drive?" I go, "You got a Ford Taurus? Because I can drive that. Anything else is a no go."
So, how did you blossom into your own sexuality?
I think I was a late bloomer. I didn't lose my virginity till I was either 19 or 20. I was like, it was that summer. So I can't remember if it was.
It's a good age, though.
I think so. I mean, like, I was very, you know, obviously like everybody else is super hormonal through high school and stuff. But I had this problem where I was like, when I was a kid, I thought I was kind of like a class clown, you know, like a lot of people that are on the show, I think, like, have that kind of origin story.
Yeah.
Where middle school and not as much high school, but like through up until I was probably like an early teen, I used to think that like farting was hilarious.
It is.
Yeah, of course it is. But
and
well, the thing is when you're younger, like when you are the kid that always was like, they used to call me the Fartmaster 3000 when I was like 11, 12 years old.
Why are you a fart? Or you laughed at the fart?
Yeah, I would fart in school and then I would just be like, this is so fucking funny. And everybody would be like, yo, my fart master struck again.
I really hope that's in your Bumble your profile.
Book. Fart master.
Or your Hinge, like your Hinge with the prompts, like a fun fact about me.
Were they loud farts? Yeah.
I thought it was like hilarious.
So it is.
The problem is when you start getting to the
age. You don't eat sausage and peppers and not let out a loud one.
Right. With my diet, yo, I was farting all over the place. Meatballs, sausage, like
what,
you know. Yeah,
there's a rigatoni fart for you.
Yeah, right.
Ricotta.
So when you get to that age where people start dating, like
you had to stop farting.
Yeah, because you
start
you
dating,
carry,
and you stop farting.
Right,
when
you
your
carry this
ends.
Thing with you yeah. where
that
people are like, I'm not dating
episode.
The fart master. You know, like
the,
I heard the fart master
like
you.
Why would you want to date the
fart
master?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I would have dated you if we went to the same
That would have been great, but I didn't have, I had no options up until like probably.
Because of the farts?
Just the reputation of it. Because I wasn't doing that.
The
in,
nickname really fucked you up.
You needed to find your fart mistress.
That nickname left a skid mark on your reputation.
Quite literally.
Wait, did you ever shart in high school? Because sometimes when you're comically farting, you can't help it. Sometimes a little poop.
You push a little too hard because you're trying. Yeah.
Mike said, no, I'm an artist.
No, I was not.
Let's keep this interview together.
I'm a fartist.
That's 100% right. So I never, like, I was a real pro at it when I was in middle school. But yeah, by the time you get, when you're like 17.
You gotta stop farting.
Yeah, people don't really want to date that dude. So
you're so sad when you said, have you talked about this in therapy? It seems like when your childhood disintegrated.
I haven't actually, but I do think that there was like, that was like the biggest drawback, I think, where like, aww, I was not girls were not into that because I was like a goofball. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Well, I know what kind of guy you are.
The kind of goofball you were. When farting is involved in your humor repertoire, you don't go, that guy's probably got a great dick.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah, literally not. And it's not like stand up.
The dick is real close to that butthole.
Yeah, right.
And well, and also, like, even when you're that young, you're not, I don't think you're thinking about the dick. You're thinking more about, like, what other people are going to think of you.
Yeah. And that's no one wants to be like, oh my God, you know, like,
you're dating the farter.
Right. You're dating the guy
who farts. Right. Mike Coscarelli, the fart master.
I don't even know his name.
100%. Yeah, right.
He's fart master.
That's literally, I think that was actually the case at a lot of times.
Yeah, rebrand.
Some girls that were like, he's the fart master.
Right.
So, like, to Corinne's point, nobody wants to date that guy. Correct. But then by the time I started, like, college was a different story.
You stopped farting. Yeah.
And you
clean
also
slate.
Clean slate. Yeah. Towards the end of high school, like that summer, I kind of felt it shift a little bit where I was like becoming like kind of like an adolescent. And the other thing that I was also learning was, and this was again like a lesson from my grandpa, which I didn't realize when I was younger, because my grandpa was funny too.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandpa, like, because he was like such a slick guy, he was just like, he was quick and smart and funny, and he was like charming that way.
Yeah.
So like my grandpa might have like farted, and that's where I got it from when I was like, we thought it was hilarious. We used to make farts when I was a kid in a bowl.
Okay. Would, like, my grandpa and I don't really find
never
farts
my grandpa
funny,
fart.
Yeah.
But me and my grandpa John definitely did some fart humor back in the day.
Aww. Yeah.
100%. Like, that was definitely.
Grandpa fart jokes are like the best.
When grandpa would pull out a whoopee cushion and that you probably won down the shore, you know?
Yeah.
You would go, this is going to be classic. This is going to be classic.
Right. So I had to learn that, like within the house, us doing that as like a bit, like for the family was like,
keep
what
it
we
in
did.
The family.
Yeah.
Only in the family.
Yeah. And I had to learn from him that, like, him being like this sort of this like slick, like kind of like sexier old dude, like that he would do less. Publicly, like when he was funny,
so
he
you
would
witnessed
do less.
That, and you're like, oh,
yeah, it started
you saved
clicking.
The farm for indoors,
yeah, and I started thinking like, oh, these women that kind of like flirt with my fucking grandpa, like. Because that would happen. We'd go to restaurants
Damn,
and like hostesses would like give my grandpa the fucking eyes. You know
wow.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I had to learn that it was like, oh, he's getting this type of attention because he's like.
Old dudes with swag can get it. 100%. I'm sorry, but I've seen a couple men in their 70s. I'm like, I would go out with you.
1000%, man. 6 foot, like tall Oof. Dude. You know what I mean? Like he had it going on. And I had to learn that to be like, you have to take it, like, relax. Like, take a step back. Don't be like. Don't be this proactive, like, joke jester. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Be this guy who's like, he is funny, but he's not like, yeah, I'm funny, you know?
No one likes that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my
right.
God.
No one wants to fuck that guy.
The
right.
clown on all the time is my least favorite type of person. I would rather I would rather deal with suicidal over that.
Right.
And those are the two types of choices you get when you're dating comedians.
A clown or suicidal.
A clown or suicidal.
Right.
100%. And you're like, sometimes a suicidal clown.
Right.
Yeah. Rest in peace,
whammy.
Robin Williams. But yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. It's just like, oof, boy, it's a lot of personality.
Yeah. So the sexuality kind of doesn't start coming into play until I learn that lesson.
Right.
Like, be a little like, let it come to you a little, like, not even just women, just like let the situation
just with energy in general.
Yeah, yeah. Let it come to you a little more and just kind of like react to things that are going on instead of being like, you know.
It's great that you got that lesson that early, because I feel like some people go their whole lives without getting it.
I think so too. I think that there are things that you can learn from, and you know, like years down the road. It's been, you know, he died when I was 20, so I'm 32 now. So it's been 12 years of kind of like dealing with kind of losing him, and like the less, like basically understanding that like at 20 those were going to be the last lessons I got from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know? And kind of like I will never be able to talk to him and learn these things that kind of like this. Male figure that had this like swagger and just like commanded respect from everybody loved this dude,
right,
you know, that chapter's kind of over. So it's like from 20 to where I'm at now, part of, you know, me living my own life, also going through therapy and kind of like learning these things now, the thing that I'd notice, again, lesson from him, was like, I hate when people talk too much. And you can always tell when somebody is kind of smart to me when they aren't super talkative and kind of like cutting people off or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the smartest people listen. And I think that that kind of, I think also sometimes the sexiest people aren't, when you're at like.
Confidence is quiet.
That's a, yeah.
Amber
totally.
Rose said that to us, and I was like, God damn, girl, that's
well,
very
literally,
true.
The yeah. key to Beyonce's success is shutting the fuck up.
Right.
Like, she just, she doesn't performs, do any interviews. She doesn't do interviews. Yeah. It's masterful.
Yeah. yeah.
Masterful.
There's that, Jay-Z too, like them as a couple. Like, Jay-Z doesn't really give interviews. Mm-mm. And yeah. like, in just this day and age, yep. they're, you know.
We, and when he does, they're fucking beautiful
they're
interviews.
Great. He sounds goddamn. So smart and so insightful.
Well, he's fucking brilliant. Yes. Yeah, they're both brilliant. And
super
so when
smart.
They do sit down, it's special.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that's someone who respects their own time in right. a way that we can all take note from.
Thanks for listening to that clip with our guest, Mike Coscarelli. If you want to hear the whole conversation, go to apple.co/GWF, where you can subscribe to the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.